If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love of the Christ. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is Everything Divine is a Free Gift Already Bestowed. So, let's take a deep breath and just allow the Holy Spirit to make straight the way of revelation of that new thing that God would like to do in you and through you, and the majestic and glorious ways that God wishes to manifest as you in this world, as His own mirrored image and likeness. So just allow that to wash over you. Feels like, well, to me it feels like warm honey just being poured, warm oil all over the crown of the head. That's the Christos, the anointing of the divine. Comes upon you and always lives evidence of its presence. So we start each seminar by asking you to take a deep breath. Why is that? Because God gave you the breath of life and made you a living, conscious soul. So in order to connect with God, you need to do nothing more difficult than take a deep, conscious breath with that intention. How simple. God placed His own spirit in you, the spirit of life, as a free gift of life and breath. So you need go no further to connect immediately with the divine presence, with the all that is, by taking a deep breath. So let's do that again, very consciously, with the intention to connect very tangibly with the divine presence. Take a deep breath. And Lord, I am open to receive. Make straight all that is within me, that all that is within me may praise Your holy name, may host Your holy presence, the presence of Your Spirit Divine. And we don't involve ourselves with taking you on elaborate guided journeys to fanciful places, nor do we emphasize elaborate meditational techniques. We like to keep things very, very simple and natural. And you'll notice that simple is always God's way, whereas man's way is always complicated. There's no confusion in God. God is pure light with no shadow, no darkness, no turning, eternal light. Always the same, because it's pure truth. So you'll notice if you choose to look, and seeing really is choosing to look, to see what's there, that everything that God has intended for you to have, for us to have, has already been given, done, provided freely as a gift of divine love, which we call grace. Grace is the unmerited favor and bestowal of God simply because you're loved. It isn't something you work to achieve or to have. It's freely given, so you just open to it. It's interesting that in the biblical scriptures, every promise that God has made to us is past tense. There's not a single future tense, which means everything has already been given. The blessings already are. They're available to you now. And grace means God-given through love. It is what God bestows just because you are His most precious treasure. We're the only creature in all of creation that is specifically made in the image and likeness of God, His exact mirrored spiritual image, because God is without form and has taken the form on earth of man. And so you have the name, the power, the image, the nature of God in you. You have that same supernatural power that allowed Jesus to do supernatural miracles that transcended the laws of the lower nature. And to access all of that, as we mentioned last week, we need to come to God in the way appointed. There's a specific way that we are appointed to enter the kingdom of heaven. When the Pharisee Nicodemus came to Jesus and asked him in the middle of the night, because he didn't want his fellow Pharisees to see him talking to this rabble-rouser and disruptor of the status religious quo, Jesus. So he came in the cover of night and he said, What must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, to be saved, to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born from above. You must be born again of the Spirit. And he was very perplexed. He said, well, I don't know how I could, as an old man, enter back into my mother's womb. And Jesus said, no, what is born from your mother's womb is your flesh embodiment. But your spirit is born from above. It's born the minute we open up to receive and request our original divine blueprint, our original divine image and similitude, which was lost when Adamic man listened to the serpent race, and the serpent race questioned the authority of God and tempted man. It was very interesting because the direction from God was, do not partake of the fruit of that tree, which was the tree of the knowledge of duality of good and evil. Because in the day that you will eat of that tree, you will surely die. But the serpent always comes with a question of God's authority, always challenges God's authority. And the serpent said to Adam, McMahon, the serpent race, did God say that you would surely die? No, you will not die. Rather, you will become like God, knowing all things. Now here was where Adamic man stepped out of covenant relationship with God and lost that divine awareness of his true image and likeness, his true self. We've been searching for ourself and our true identity ever since, because we sense that we're different. We're more than this enchilada that's walking around on the earth. What Adam and Eve should have said was, I am the image of God. I have already the wisdom of God. I am omnipresent. God's nature is our nature. That's what he should have said. But instead, the little seed of doubt was insinuated subtly into the innocence of Adamic man. And in biting into that forbidden fruit, that forbidden approach, lost conscious awareness of oneness with God. And so the restoration of that divine blueprint, that image and likeness, was restored by the coming of Jesus the Christ, who became the surrogate, the scapegoat, as it were, the sacrificial lamb. Jesus embodied the entire human race, the entire Adamic race, and the entire effects of the fall, and died the death that had become the penalty for that loss of the divine image. For the wages of sin is death. So Jesus became the sin of the collective and took it all to the cross and blotted out the effects of the fall, so that nothing of the old need touch us now. He reestablished that correct and direct approach to God, to know who we are, that we are the name, we are the power, we are the image, we are the nature of God. And everything that the Father has in the kingdom, in his kingdom, is available and restored to us. So it's appropriate for us to ask, what can God be in me? So often we think of what God can do for us or bless us or give us. But have we ever really considered how we can give to God in return for a renewed life, how we can give to God our life? Not on the cross, Jesus already did that, but as his glory and image walked out upon the earth as kingdom ambassadors. And when you are born from above, by inviting and asking that salvation that only Jesus can bestow, in a nanosecond, in a second, when you are born from above, your heart, mind, character are completely and permanently transformed, and you're an entirely new creation in Christ. Entirely new. Nothing of the old affects you. You're not under the curse of the fall. And the dark things of the kingdom of the lower God form that we call the call or the devil or Satan no longer has any jurisdiction over you. You've been transformed freely by the grace of divine love, by the divine power that is beyond and completely greater than the self that you are in this world. That divine power that's out of reach by anything but simple faith. So you're filled with that supernatural love of God. And with that love, you love God for the first time, truly, in spirit and in truth. And you love the one he sent to be his visible image, his atonement, his first fruit, your elder brother, Jesus. And you're filled with humble gratitude for what he's done for you. And you're filled with divine desire to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's when you breathe the breath of God. You speak the words of God that the Holy Spirit inspires within you. You are led by the Spirit as you become sensitive to that gentle, gentle guiding voice that speaks within your conscience and your innermost pure heart, which now has become the very throne of God. The guidance is as you walk, as you go about your day, as you turn to God before you make decisions and seek to attune to his specific will and directive in any given situation. It's a thoughtful walk, a careful walk, an attuned, consciously resonated walk. You're always sensitive to how the atmosphere in which you're involved is resonating against your innermost self. You have become the living temple in which God dwells. And so certain things you find a natural affinity for, and those are the things that are right for you. When the Holy Spirit inhabits you, a natural wholeness and simplicity presides. A peace that bypasses any kind of human understanding dwells within your mind. Fear, oppression, and worry just vanish because that perfect love casts out all fear. And when you're born from above by the grace and love of God, that old spirit of fear which came in with the fall simply recedes and dissolves into the shadows from which it came as a no thing. So you have an innocence about you, an innocent nature that seems to highlight the things that are good and pure and holy and divine and wholesome and of good report. You notice the divine things, the loving things, the sweet things of life. Your eyes see through the gaze of God, so that your eyes become the literal windows into the kingdom of God, which is within you now. And so as you gaze upon anyone, you give them the baraka, the darshan, the blessing of the divine. Your words become extremely powerful because they carry the power and authority of the Christ. So that you have the power to still the storms like Jesus did. when the apostles were out on that Sea of Galilee, which is given to sudden storms, he was sound asleep. And they were so afraid. They woke him up. And he just stood up and said to the water and the wind, "Peace, be still." And everything was quiet instantly. And the apostles look at one another and they said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" You know, there's many, many supernatural, wonderful, miraculous stories. But I find one very interesting. There's a man by the name of Arthur Blessed that has walked something like 38,000 miles and visited all the nations of the earth walking and carrying the cross of Jesus, and just, you know, sharing the love of God wherever he goes. Well, he was sleeping in his van, I think it was in Chiapas, and all of a sudden he heard a loud banging in the middle of the night on the side of his van. So he opened the door, and in his face were dozens of bayonets, and a very angry mob was demanding that he come out of the camper because they were going to kill him. And because he walks with the Lord in perfect faith and trust and is covered by the grace of God, he got out of the van without any fear whatsoever. And all of a sudden, everybody was like blasted back. And they kept saying, "A luz brillante, a luz brillante, the brilliant light, the brilliant light." And they fell back, and they were blinded. And they crawled and scrambled and got to their feet and ran, falling and stumbling through the forest to get away from him. Because the power of the living God had shielded him. There are so many stories like that, where people have become literally rendered invisible to the enemy. You know, there is nothing more powerful on this earth as a protective device than knowing who you are, whose image you're made in the likeness of, and who dwells within you, and by whose authority and in whose name do you operate. And so that which keeps you small and disempowered is simply ignorance. That the world and the world's jargon and the world's belief systems keeps indoctrinating into your mind and confusing your sense of identity. I've often been fond of saying that whatever the world tells you is a lie, because the truth of God is the exact polar opposite of everything that you hear in the news, in the courts, in the medical places. All of those things are under the law. But you, as a born from above, new creation, restored, redeemed, and reinserted into the divine blueprint of the kingdom of God, you are no longer subject to those lower laws. You now come under the covenant, the new covenant of grace. Because the old covenant and the prophets were fulfilled by the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. So once you know that, you can just let go of so many things that concern many, many people. For example, within the New Age, people are really concerned about fixing the world, bringing peace on earth, ending the wars, and bringing forward a new age, a millennial age, in which everyone lives in peace and love. But they're trying to do it without receiving the gift of grace. which was the restored kingdom, that Jesus came. And that he will fully restore when he returns the second time. Yes, Jesus will physically return, the scriptures say, exactly as he left. This same Jesus will return, just as you saw him leave. Well, he was taken up in a cloud and disappeared from their sight. So he will return in like manner. And only God the Father knows when that will be. But it's interesting, all of the prophetic signs are at once being acted out today on the planet. All of them. It's amazing. Every day you see that the way is now for the manifestation of the Christ. But this first aspect of the return will only be visible to those people who are actually spiritually looking and expecting to see the Christ. Because it has to do with something so supernatural that really it's incomprehensible to all of us, other than we know that in an instant we will be caught up to be with the Christ, and our carnal mortal flesh will be instantly restored to the same glorified body that Jesus is wearing. That is the same body that he resurrected from the grave. So that our mortal flesh will put on immortality. If you're old and infirm, you will be young and healthy. If you're ugly and deformed or whatever, you will be in perfect form. Every bit whole, restored as you were originally created by God. So that first aspect of the return is the restoration of the complete kingdom identity and appearance that we had before the dissension into this lower fallen world that we call the third dimension. And then, apparently, the earth is going to be cleansed very, very thoroughly. And the Lord, with those that are with him, will return to establish the new heaven within the new earth. So, how that's going to happen, we do not know. No one knows. We can make up all sorts of fabricated guesstimations. But the truth is, no one knows, because this is a divine free gift. And part of it at this time is the renewal that is occurring upon the earth as God pours his spirit on all flesh. We're being at this time divinely cleansed from above, which is why so many people are spontaneously turning Godward with their hearts. And it's a collective infilling through grace, that all we need to do is receive it. You don't have to do anything else. But everywhere, you know, people are mentioning so many of these symptoms that they have. They call them ascension symptoms. Those are where there is a resistance to the infilling. So when you feel that pain, you need to take a deep breath and call forward the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, into every atom and subatomic atom of your physical body and your subtle bodies. And make straight, allow the Lord to make straight the way of the Christ within you. So that that same nature that was in Christ Jesus, that same mind, that same nearness and dearness to the Father, that same intimacy may manifest in you and in your relationship with the Lord. When you have that going for you, you're not going to worry about asteroids hitting the earth. You're not going to be concerned about being in earthquakes or floods or fires or whatever, because you've given your heart, your life, your possessions, everything. You've given them all to God, realizing that God has given them to you, and they'll be with you as long as they need to be with you in that form. But everything that you give to God on behalf of the Christ, God returns to you multiplied, so that everything that you may think you leave or lose here in this lower world will be restored to you, multiplied, pressed down, overflowing, running over. You're never going to lose anything that God has marked with your name. And that fire can stop at the edge of your property, as it has with so many people. That tornado can leap over your house, as it has in so many people's experience. That flood can just not come into your area, your neighborhood. So there is a supernatural way of escape that is provided for the people who have chosen to be God's own. They are desirous of belonging to God, consciously, of their own free will. They are desirous of being led by His Spirit from within them. They want to do His will and to live in a way that gives Him glory and honor. And so those are the ones that nature has to make a way of escape for, that nature has to protect, because you are literally the elect of these last days, these end times. You are the ones that are marked with the blood of Jesus. And just as the spirit of death passed over the houses of the Israelites that were marked with the blood of the Lamb, and destruction and death only was visited upon those whose houses were not marked, everyone who has made the Lord the sovereign king and authority over their life has that marking of the blood of the Lamb over their life, over their household, over their family. And the spirit of destruction has to pass over, because you carry the name that is above all names, and the love that is the transcending of all the laws and all of the things of this world, which is the grace of God. So, it's already been given. It's there for you. But you know, you might have millions and millions of dollars in an inheritance. But if you have never read the will and testament, you have no idea that it's yours. And the will and testament, which was ratified by the shed blood of Jesus, if you're not aware of the specific gifts that come with that covenant relationship, you're really not going to be able to reach in to the things in the fullness that God has intended for you to have. I think that's why there's such a spirit in this world. I guess we'd have to call it the spirit of the Antichrist. Because it seems to really have an agenda to keep you from going into reading your covenant rights and following after the things which, if you pursued them with all your heart and mind and soul, would give you a Christ-like life. You would become so Christ-like in the power and the intimacy that you have with God and the authority and the supernatural abilities that God works through you, that you would be a sign and a wonder wherever you were. You would not take any attempt to be conspicuous in that, because it's the more you're filled with the Christ, the less aware you are of yourself. That self-consciousness literally atrophies, and you simply become aware of the glory and love of God in everything, in everyone. You begin to fall in love with God everywhere you look, because you look with God's eyes, and God sees his most beloveds when he looks at any one of us. He has the same exact love for you that he has for Jesus. He only sees his only begotten Christ and Son when he looks at you or me. Wow. Yeah. So your sight and how you see people, how you see life, how you interpret things completely changes when you put on that new nature, when you're born from above. And you must be born from above, spiritually regenerated, to enter the kingdom of heaven. Otherwise, for you to enter the kingdom of heaven without that new nature, it would be like hell for you. It would be very, very painful. So you need the new nature to enter the new earth, which will be the footstool of Jesus Christ, who will be the king, the rightful king and ruler, representing the divine throne realms. So in the New Age, we call that the reinstitution of the planet Earth into the galactic family of peaceful worlds, the induction of the Earth into the council of planetary worlds that are governed by peace. But really, it's going to take the Prince of Peace to establish peace on Earth. We can't do it. We can host the Prince of Peace within us and be examples of peace, which we are when we have that born from above renewed spirit. But we of ourselves are co-laborers, co-workers with Jesus. We're instruments through which his spirit brings new life, renewal, healing, and many, many things. We literally become little Christs. That's the meaning of the word Christian, to be a little Christ. But, you know, we just manifest that littleness because we're designed to work as a collective body, as a collective Messiah, as the body of Christ. We're his body, but Jesus the Christ is our head. So we work as co-laborers in God's kingdom, as harvesters. Sometimes we're called the harvesters. And so we go out looking for the ripened wheat. And we do that when we share the good news that the kingdom was restored and your divine inheritance was secured by the cross, the life, the example, and the resurrection of Jesus. And there's no way around that, you know. All the other approaches only take you to the outer pasture. But to enter into the true pasture and the true sheepfold, so to speak, as a metaphor for the true kingdom, you have to follow the one true shepherd. A lot of people don't like to hear that. They want to wiggle room away from that, because the call to Christ is a call to a laid-down, crucified life. And people want their cake, and they want to eat it too. But there's one way, and that's God's way. And God's way is the way that's already been provided as a free gift of grace. So you can't do anything to add to the perfect, finished work that Jesus already accomplished. That's already been done. All the doing that needed to be done to save, redeem, restore, bless, and bestow every divine availability and possibility was already given. Already given. So the only one that ever deprives us of anything is our own unwillingness to receive the gift. That's why it says it's we need to be like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. You need to just walk up and say, yes, I want that. I receive it. And take it. But make no mistake, you can't go in without being cleansed by the atoning blood of Jesus. That's what washes the stain of the fall off of your subtle bodies, off of your mind, off of your whole being. Nothing else will cleanse you. No one and nothing. No technique. You can't work out your karma. That comes under the God, the prince of the lower world. And he has it rigged so that you will never work out all of your karma and make yourself perfect. He just recycles you back. So be born again from above. Ask Jesus to save you. The term salvation comes from the Latin root verb salve, which means wholeness, to be restored to wholeness. That includes divine health and everything that God has purpose for you is in salvation. The shalom of God is the wholeness of God restored to you. Your whole nature, your holy nature. God is holy and you are holy. God is whole, ever full and complete. You are whole, ever full and complete. Nothing is lacking. Nothing is lacking. Every manifestation of poverty and lack simply comes from not being really connected and knowing what your covenant rights are, knowing what is yours already. And so we have not because we ask not. And so, again, ask. Ask to be saved, restored, returned to your original divine nature, which is there for you. It wants to be wedded with you. It wants to be received. And to receive, you just need to have that humble willingness. You know, humility is recognizing you can't do it yourself, that you need a Savior. You can't save yourself. Kind of amuses me when you see people going around saying, oh, well, you save yourself. You don't need Jesus. You save yourself. Good luck. Do you know how to save yourself? Has anything you've ever done ever made you feel completely free? I never felt free until I gave up and gave in and said, Jesus, I'm yours. And when I had that born again, born from above experience, for the first time in my life, I felt I was free, spiritually liberated. After many, many years of meditation and doing all the techniques, I felt free with a simple request for Jesus to take charge and command of my life and to be my Lord and way-shower and my all-in-all. Just that simple prayer. And it's funny, you know, I didn't realize I was bound. I really didn't. I really thought I was free. But as it says in the scriptures, when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And I was set free through grace. And now what do you do after you're set free through grace? You become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and you learn to follow. You learn to step back and allow the Holy Spirit to open the doors before you, to be the gentleman, to prepare the way. You don't launch out in ego mode and try to decide for yourself what you need to do. Oh, you use your God-given intelligence, but guided by the Holy Spirit. You check things out and see if they align with the Word and the grace of God. That's why your caveat is always, this Lord, or whatever would be for my highest good, you decide. I don't want anything that you would not want for me. If you're not in it, I don't want to be involved with it. So that way you learn to sense where the blessing of God, the anointing, is present. And the anointing is divine enablement. For example, if you are obedient to the leading of Spirit and operate in the areas where you're anointed, which means divinely filled with inspiration and emboldened and empowered to do whatever it is beyond yourself, your own ability, you will always succeed. And you will also prosper. When you're in that right connected relationship with God and are being led by the divine spirit within you, it's like you can do no wrong. Even if you do make a mistake, it'll be worked together for good and turn out to be a blessing to everyone around you. I've had that experience so many times. So everything works its way together for good in your life. Everything. And all you need to do is the two things that Jesus said were the most important. To love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. God fights your battles. God equips you for whatever it is He has appointed you to do. God opens the doorway. The things that He doesn't want you to participate in, He closes the door. So you learn to trust that. If you're late for an appointment, you don't curse and get ugly and angry. You recognize it's God's divine directive. If you don't get that job, you don't get all mean and out of sorts. You know that that wasn't the place God wanted you to be. You see how simple a spirit-led life can be. You just always move to trusting acceptance. That's called faith, living by faith. It's really trusting God. knowing that he has it handled. God will withhold no good thing from those who love him. Once you love God with all your heart, he bends over in every kind of way to fulfill the desires of your heart, even down to the littlest things. And what is that? It's a love relationship. You've received the gift that he came to give, which was his kingdom and all that he possesses. So, don't be so busy trying to do all this stuff for yourself. Give God some wiggle room. You don't have to have the answers. You don't have to play God. You don't have to understand what's happening. You don't have to worry about what's happening in the cosmos. What could you do about it if you did? You can't. You're not in control of the cosmos, okay? You can't control anything but the choice to receive the free gift that God is waiting to give you of a new life, a spirit-filled and spirit-led life governed by grace and the perfect covenant of divine love that made you eternally righteous and seated in divine authority in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Yes, the minute you have that born-again experience, you're instantly seated with God in the divine throne rooms with Christ Jesus. Seated means a completed work. You rest in God. Even while your physical body still moves about and completes this time lag dance that we're in down here, because everything's already completed, finished, bestowed, done, given. You're already seated in the throne realms in a position of divine authority and the direct administrative counsel of God, the true God and creator of all. Wow. So once you receive the born-again renewal of spirit, a transformation that's given through grace, you don't have to add anything to that. You don't have to meditate and chant mantras and do elaborate processes. You're to cultivate your relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus. These are all words for the same love and grace. But you begin to cultivate that relationship. You learn about your covenant rights. You study the Bible. You allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the encoded mysteries that are opened only to born-again vision. You can't read the Bible with the ego mind. It's foolishness to the ego mind. It's revealed only to those who have the renewed spirit. But it's the main way that the mind is renewed. The mind is renewed through three aspects of God's Word. The first is the Logos Word, which is the written Word of Scripture. The second is the Rhema Word, which would be God's direct instructions to you that would come prophetically and through divine revelation, and sometimes through a person who is anointed in the prophetic that would speak into your life God's specific directives to you. And the third is through the living word of God's divine melody, God's divine, it's called the wordless word, the soundless sound, the voice of the silence. the voice that rings and sings with the divine ecstasy of God's immediate presence, beyond words, beyond forms. Radiant ecstasy. I don't know how to even put words to it, but it's that which I've spoken about in several different programs, and it's that which lies behind all of the words. It's God's immediate impartation, spirit to spirit. And that's the secret place, and the sacred place, and the holy of holies, where you are worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and you can no longer speak, because in the presence of God, everything is silent. And I like the analogy of the bumblebee. You know, when the bumblebee is searching out flowers to drink nectar from, he's very noisy. But the minute he settles down and starts to drink the nectar, he's absolutely silent. And likewise, your spirit, your mind, every part of you, enters absolute stillness when you're in the immediate presence of God. It needs no words, nothing added unto it. But it is to be absorbed and dissolved in such love, in such peace. And I would suggest to you a simple technique to get you into that kind of mindset. And it's called soaking. Get a really beautiful worship CD, really beautiful, done by a very anointed Christian musician, Terry McAlmon, McAlmon. Terry McAlmon has two of the best soaking CDs I've ever heard. But you can Google soaking prayer and probably bring up a website that will give you directions. And you put that music on, and then you sit and begin to move into that presence of God. You begin to woo that presence, call yourself forward into it. Take a deep breath and begin to call yourself into attunement with the divine presence of God. And you soak in that. Some people pray a little bit in spiritual tongues, in their prayer language. Sometimes people will prime the pump a little bit by dwelling upon a passage in Scripture. But however you do, get yourself in that atmosphere of worship and soak in it. You can have actually soaking prayer gatherings where several people join together just to immerse themselves in an atmosphere of worship and receptivity. But however you do it, court the divine presence and know that everything divine is a free gift. You don't buy it. You don't work for it. You don't meditate into it. You don't do anything but receive it through faith like a little child. So let's go out chanting the precious name of Jesus, and let's sing it in Hebrew because it really resonates nice in the Hebrew language. Take a deep breath. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And you've been listening to Commander Lady Athena, a fellow servant of God and a lover of God. And blessings and light upon your week ahead. And spend some time soaking. I think you'll really, really enjoy a very unique experience with the Holy Spirit. Adonai.